Shauger, big day yesterday for the Oilers organization as Kevin Lowe announced he'll be inducted into the NHL Hall of Fame whenever they have the ceremony. Also, Ken Holland going in. Your thoughts on those two? Are you surprised by either one?
Well, I think I was surprised by Kevin Lowe, not because I don't think he should have gotten in, but just because it's been so long and it's been so, excuse me, hotly debated in this city, you know, for so long. And when it finally happens, it's kind of like, oh, you know, it catches you off guard. You know, I think Kevin Lowe deserves to be there. I think it's great that he was picked. And, yeah, I understand, like, people like to have lots of debate and talk about it, and it's what makes it fun, but... You know, 6 Stanley Cups and 7 All-Star appearances and the kind of impact that he had in the room as a leader on the group, you know, to me it makes sense. So, yeah, and I think that for Ken Holland, too, you know, he just built such an incredible organization in Detroit and brought in such great players and built, you know, teams that were so incredibly strong. He's had a huge contribution to the game. So, you know, between Ginla going in, the St. Albert boy and Kenny Holland, general manager of the Oilers, and Kevin Lowe, and his history was kind of a big day for Edmonton yesterday in the hall.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Edmonton, of course, St. Albert, the home of Jerome Ginla. Edmonton, they're still in the mix. It sounds like Vancouver, you know, I'm sure, Shauger, I know you've been all over it, but I got a lot of texts from people saying that, you know, Vancouver, you know, doesn't look likely, so they're out. Because originally the NHL kind of wanted to announce the hub cities today was their original plan, I was told, and then that obviously fell by the wayside. I don't expect them with their first live TV event to try to overshadow the draft lottery tomorrow. So we're probably into the weekend or Monday until we have an announcement.
Yeah, I think that's probably a reasonable timeline, early next week maybe. I don't know if they would do something like that over a weekend or not. Yeah, I mean, I think that everything was lining up for it to be a Vegas-Vancouver scenario. But again, like the number of things they need to have worked out, the amount of the logistics that need to be squared away is just massive. And so this is the stage where they'd be going through and making sure everything was absolutely buttoned down. And in doing so, you know, they realize there's a snag. And so they got to circle back and start looking at other options. You know, I think there's probably a real strong push to see if they can make Toronto work, to give them the east-west hub that makes sense from a time zone standpoint. Probably a real strong push for that. But Edmonton is very much in the mix there too. So yeah, it's interesting. I think the chances of it coming to Edmonton probably increase with the trouble in Vancouver and with that bid, but we'll have to wait and see.
What do you make of their wantingness to have a Canadian market, and do you think it makes sense to have an Eastern market? Is that what Edmonton's up against, more the time zone of Toronto? Because from a potential logistics standpoint, Edmonton seems to be easier than Toronto.
Well, what I would say is that if Toronto were an easy option, like if Toronto were an option, it would be done already. It would be Vegas and Toronto. I think that would be the NHL's number one choice. East-West, huge markets. I think if it were possible to throw this thing into Toronto at any point along the way here, it would be done already. So obviously there were some issues with the Toronto bid in figuring out a way to make it work there. You know, we all understand the situation in Toronto with COVID. It's you know, we're in a better position here in Alberta and in British Columbia with the numbers and the testing and such. But it has improved recently in Ontario and is kind of heading in a better direction. But honestly, Greg's, if Toronto really were an option that worked, I think it would have been done already. So
okay.
Vancouver didn't work out. They're having to circle back and give it some more time and figure out if Toronto still can be an option or not. Pierre LeBrun just tweeted, you know, similar to what I tweeted earlier today about Edmonton, you know, the government of Alberta and the NHL, they've got their agreement in place. So whatever issues they're having in Vancouver are not issues here. Whatever the snag is not a snag in Alberta. Pierre LeBrun just reporting that the government in Alberta and the NHL are on side with all their protocols as well. So it doesn't sound like it'll be an issue out there either. But I think the NHL is probably going to bide its time here and see if they can find a way to make Toronto work. Meanwhile, you've got Edmonton sitting there ready to go with great numbers, leading the way in a lot of ways with their health and safety protocols, with their testing capacity, but kind of sitting there not being picked to this point. So we'll see what happens.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joined us. We heard from Ken Holland that Philip Broberg will be coming over to camp,
yep,
as will be Rodrigue, the young goaltender. So, you know, I would assume Stuart Skinner is going to be there. So there's their four goalies. Maybe they bring in Wells if they want five. But, you know, that with Broberg, that's 24 players of the current 23. So that leaves four other spots. Lagesson, Benson, I think, and Bouchard are in there. So that leaves one more. And, you know, your options are guys like, you know, Yurcho, who I don't think no chance. You got Granlund. He's already signed in Europe. To me, Ryan McLeod makes the most sense. Does he not at that spot?
I think so. I mean, he is a legit prospect that they want, you know, they have plans for and view him as a piece of this whole thing moving forward. So, yeah, I would think that makes good sense. To be honest with you, I've been so tied up in all this hub stuff that I haven't really gone into great detail on what the orders list should look like. I mean, the other thing I could see them wanting to do, though, Gregs, is if there's an American League player, you know, that they view as having been a real good leader for them over the years, and someone who they think would be the right person to be there but not necessarily playing. They might want to reward somebody who's been a real good soldier for them over the last few years at the American League level. So maybe there's potential they go that way with one of the positions.
Like a Brad Malone, maybe? Somebody like that you're suggesting?
Brad Malone. Yeah, I'm not sure. Like maybe a Keegan Lowe or someone like that, or honestly, I don't know. But guys who have been largely American League players who, have been put in good work for the organization, and maybe it's an opportunity to have somebody who would be considered a bit of a leader, but at the American League level, I think you want somebody there who is going to. I don't know what it'll look like. I don't know if I don't think the coach is going to want all, you know, 28 guys skating every single day, or how many guys are going to want on the ice, if there's going to be separate ice times for guys that are to be considered aces. You're going to want to put some leadership into that group to make sure that everybody's, you know, staying in line and keeping on the right path, and you might want some veteran AHL leadership in that secondary group.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shog, Artemi Panarin put this out earlier today. Quote, I am very much looking forward to the playoffs with the Rangers. I have concerns not only about the health of players and their families, but also about the long-term prosperity of the NHL. For nearly two decades, the players have protected the owner's income with escrow, including throughout this pandemic crisis, even as owner's equity continues to grow exponentially. It is time to fix the escrow. We as players cannot report to camp to resume play without already having an agreement in place. We are all in this together. Also, I know the process for selection of the hub cities is ongoing. I sincerely wish that my teammates and I could train and play at MSG and bring employment and economic opportunities safely back to New York City for Ranger fans and all New Yorkers. So a few things there. I don't think there's any economic prosperity to be had by anybody who's a hub city, number one. Number two, the players are the one who always vote on escrow, not the owners, right? The players could have easily just said, we're not going to do the increase every year, and then there wouldn't be an increase in the salary cap. So it doesn't really change. I get why he's frustrated about escrow, but escrow has always been essentially a make-believe cap number. All it's done is increase the cap, even though it's not actual dollars, because you're giving it all back.
Yeah.
It's almost like the player, he doesn't understand that.
Yeah. It was very, interesting of him to put this out there. To me, what stands out, we as players cannot report to camp to resume play without already having an agreement in place. That, to me, is the pivotal statement in there. Kind of drawing a line in the sand that unless they get this sorted out entirely, there's going to be no, you know, agreement for now and deal with it later. Like they want to get some answers and they want to get it done. At least that's what he's saying. Now, I'm not sure. Obviously, he's speaking for himself. I don't believe he's the Rangers PA rep. I'm not sure. I might be wrong on that. But interesting. And hey, credit to him for being vocal and making his opinion known and not. Not just sitting back. There's a lot of things being negotiated right now, and there's a lot of money at stake for both sides. And I don't know that anybody's going to have the opportunity to really pull one over on anyone else here. I think it's kind of everybody trying to do the best they can to make up what they can and try and keep escrow reasonable for next year. I'm not sure if it's the time and place to be drawing really hard lines in the sand as negotiating points, kind of a unique situation. And I don't know if that's what he's doing, but it kind of does, you get that sense from that statement. you know, that they can't report to camp without that agreement being in place.
Yeah, which obviously isn't true. And, they already have an agreement. Like, he's suggesting that he wants the new CBA ratified before next season.
Well, or is he talking about before resumption of play this year? We cannot report to camp.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's right. That's beyond. I don't think there's any truth about that, do you?
Yeah, it might just be his opinion, right? It might just be Artemi Panarin being vocal with his opinion, and he certainly has a right to it. So I don't know. I tend to like it when players come out and let people know what they're thinking. I don't necessarily agree with all of it, but it's interesting because, I mean, you know, I was not surprised, but it's interesting that they're, you know, getting deep into the CBA and talks on how to sort that out. It's this real pivotal point in the game where really this is about, you know, $1 billion that's lost that they're trying to figure out how to salvage to try and resume some sense of normalcy heading into next season and not just economic, you know, just having an economic kick in the gut for both the owners and the players. They're sort of trying to figure out how to work together to make the blow as easy as possible. But it seems like an interesting time to be trying to put fundamental big deals in place that will last for years moving forward. The landscape feels uncertain to me over the next few years, what the financials will look like. And I'm just not sure how you put too much solid pen to paper right now with how uncertain everything is.
No question about it. Shager, I know because he's a co-worker of yours, but you had another Rick Westhead, another story. He's been all over this for time being. Some investigating claims by a former WHL player has filed a complaint with the league alleging he was victim of sexual and physical abuse during his time in the WHL and, didn't want to disclose his name or the people involved at this point. But it was interesting that in Rick's thing, it said some of the people involved in this are high up people in the NHL.
Yeah, this is something that is going to be dealt with. It's something that you know needs to be dealt with. There's a bit of a dark history, dating back in some cases a few decades, in some cases not that long ago. Surprisingly, not that long ago. You know, there was a time and place back in the 90s and before where, you know, stories of hazing and such were common, not necessarily to these awful depths that we're hearing these stories being told about. You know, I certainly never came across anything like that in my time. And that's not to say that nobody else did, but that's just my experience. Nothing to the lengths of what's being, you know, talked about and reported in some of these lawsuits and claims. There was a time and place where this was normal is not the right word, but accepted to a certain degree, a certain amount of hazing. But when you find out how far it got taken, it's pretty disturbing. I'm a father of teenage boys. I wouldn't want my young men to have to go through that or young ladies in any way, shape, or form. And so there's a bit of a reckoning happening. That kind of coincides with a lot of reckonings that seem to be happening in society right now. So, you know, I'm not really sure what to say beyond that. It's just we'll watch as it happens, and you hope for the best that those who were affected can help produce some change that is meaningful to them, and that the game can adjust, and that the game can recognize mistakes that have been made in the past and move on and make sure that they don't have to happen anymore.
Yeah, obviously it sounds like this, you know, because when they say there's people in prominent roles in hockey, then likely it, you know, probably happened quite a few years ago. I have no idea if that's 10 or 15 or whatever it is, but I suspect the perpetrators of these allegations might not be sleeping as well tonight. Because if something like this does go to court and eventually it comes out, well, then obviously at that point some people are going to have to answer for things they did in their past. Some people have made bad decisions in life, no question about it. Some decisions are worse than others, though. I think that's fair.
Yeah, I agree. And, things are different now than they were 10 years ago. They're different than they were 20 years ago. Different things were different levels of unacceptable, right, over a timeline. But some things shouldn't have ever been acceptable at any point in time.
100%.
And I think we all know, you know, things that are and are not acceptable, whether it's 1995 or 2014 or whatever the year. There's a certain there's certain lines that shouldn't ever be crossed. And so if we find out that those lines were in fact crossed, we just have to kind of let the system do its thing, right? You have to let the players who were affected have their say, and you got to let the legal system have its say. You got to let the game listen, learn, adjust, and if there's a day of reckoning for people who are involved, then that will happen as well. It's one of those things where we just kind of we'll watch and pay attention, and everybody learns, and we'll just kind of see how far it ends up going.
Shogger, what is your guess for fun? You've been all over this. What's your guess for the two hub cities?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, 3 days ago, I'd have said Vegas and Vancouver. I think there's a big part of me, Greg, that wonders where the NHL's head is at on everything that's happening south of the border, just with where numbers are going down there. And you know, it's not, I don't see it turning around anytime soon. Like, they, you know, they're definitely not going to go back into the type of lockdown that it might take to start curbing those numbers again as they did before. So I just wonder if there's a hesitation about the states in general. And if that's the case, you know, potentially Edmonton, Toronto. Vancouver might still have some time to get its stuff together here. So, you know, I still feel like...
Oh, you think they could still be in it?
Yeah, I don't think they're right out of it. I mean, I think that the health authorities in BC still have some time to try and figure out if they can, you know, meet the NHL. I don't think it's dead, completely dead case at this point. I think the NHL has had to make its position clear. Here's, in our opinion, what it needs to look like. And they're circling back with their other options now to see if they can, you know, get everything all lined up. But I think BC, if they were to come around and say, okay, here's a plan, and the NHL agrees, I think they would happily make that happen, because I think Vancouver was a priority. So I wouldn't be counting them entirely out the way some are right now. But if I had to guess right now, I would probably say Vegas and Toronto. But I think Edmonton has an excellent shot at hosting, because I think all along they've had health protocols that, you know, were extremely detailed, and those details have been fleshed out for a long time now. They were leaders in getting that done. I think we all know what Ice District can do in terms of creating a bubble. I think they've been ahead of the game in a lot of ways, but it's just a matter of, you know, the league and the players green-lighting that scenario, and I don't know if they're there yet.
Shogger, have yourself a great weekend. We'll chat with you next week.
Okay, sounds good, pal.